Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, September 17th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Hey, were you one of the 20 million or more people last night that was glued to CNN for the GOP presidential debate? Well, I was, and we got plenty of stuff to talk about today because marijuana was finally mentioned by the GOP candidates. The social media teams forced this question into the debate, and we've got plenty to talk about that. We're going to bring that up in Behind the Headlines today. I'll give you my take on the GOP debate and their various positions about marijuana and other issues. Then we'll get into our drug war data mining today, where there's a report out from the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. That's the area that covers Colorado, Wyoming, some of Idaho. And it's basically an arm of the drug czar's office. And every year since marijuana has been legalized in Colorado, they've issued a report to explain to everyone who just can't seem to see that the sky has fallen, that we've undergone a disaster of biblical proportion since we legalized marijuana in Colorado. So they've issued their latest report, some 140 some odd pages long, and it's got one huge glaring error in it. And I swear, they must be using the same interns who fact-check for Project Sam and CADCA. They're so desperate to find something wrong with marijuana legalization that they can't help but make these mistakes. And you know me, I can't help but look shit up and prove them wrong. So we'll get to that in our drug war data mining. Then at 7:30, we'll get into our Cannabusiness Chronicles, where I visited with seven different vendors at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference in Portland this last weekend. So you get to hear a little bit about their products and how excited they are to join the green rush here in the state of Oregon. And then at the end of hour one, we're going to talk about Sallyo. Sallyo, that's right, Stoners Against Legalization in Ohio. Sallyo. And I'm going to tell you some of the arguments they've been trying to make on social media to convince other fellow cannabis consumers to vote with the cops and the DEA to maintain their own criminality, because doggone it, pot dealers won't get rich. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then we'll take things into hour two. Toker Talk Radio will get more into depth on that GOP debate and some of the comments with regards to marijuana in that debate. I'll give you my take on just how we ought to be pushing this frame. And we'll have more highlights from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. I believe what we've got on tap here for you is the women's panel. Let me check the listings. I think that's what we've got burned. There's so much to bring you from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. And yeah, let's see. We will have the Women and Cannabis panel moderated by California's Debbie Goldsberry. That's coming up in hour two in Toker Talk Radio. All right, we got to take a break, pay some of the bills. Remember to check out our sponsors. You hear their ads every day, and thanks to their generous support, I'm able to bring you this podcast and this live 24-hour stream absolutely free. If you want to keep it that way, you got to make sure they know that you support them. So visit their websites, call them out on social media, thank them for supporting 420 Radio, and of course, buy their stuff. We're back with the 420 Radio News. We'll talk about the Michigan proposal, Martin O'Malley, the presidential candidate, Ohio, Kansas, and Colorado, all in the news right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
As a police officer, I walked the beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals, and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Cannabis culture goes way back, you dig? Way before hippies and beatniks and pigs. Back to hep cats like Louis Armstrong and Cab Calloway. Soulful dames like Ella Fitzgerald and Billie Holiday. All the way to old Blue Eyes and the Rat Pack. So come spark up a jazz cigarette and take a trip back to when marijuana was jive, muggles, reefer, and tea. It's the new Viper Hour, daddy-o, see? The early 20th century archives of blues, jazz, and swing that define the cannabis culture and everything. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. and weekends at 1 a.m. Pacific on 420radio.org, the home for marijuana music. Yeah!
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Canna Business 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPA's Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, September 17th, 2015. Marijuana had a major moment at the Republican presidential debate on Wednesday night, taking center stage for the first time this election season. But rather than launch a new war on drugs, several candidates endorsed the right of states to make their own decision on marijuana, clearing the way for an explosion of new pro-pot ballot initiatives in 2016. Speaking at the presidential library of drug warrior Ronald Reagan, the GOP vanguard might have been expected to double down on opposition to the drug, promising to stamp out marijuana in America. But the biggest cheers came for Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, and former Hewlett-Packard executive Carly Fiorina, the three candidates who pledged to let local governments do what they want about pot. The Michigan Cannabis Coalition, one of two groups circulating petitions this summer for potential marijuana legalization ballot proposals in 2016, has hired National Petition Management to collect signatures. Through the end of August, MCC reported collecting 138,060 verified signatures, roughly 55% of the number required by the Secretary of State. The ballot committee estimates that number is now closer to 170,000 and says it is ahead of schedule in its bid to collect the necessary 252,523 signatures to advance its proposal. Among registered voters who had signed the petition, 53% were female, according to Rev6, even though early polling data had suggested it would be more popular with men. Likewise, marijuana legalization tends to poll best with young people, but nearly 33% of those who signed the petition are between the age of 50 and 64, while only 16% were between the ages of 18 and 29. Democratic presidential hopeful Martin O'Malley met with Colorado marijuana regulators Thursday and vowed immediate change on marijuana policy if he takes office, even as he laid out contradictory plans about how he'd do that. The former Maryland governor repeated his pledge to reclassify marijuana under federal drug laws if elected. He sat down with state pot regulators along with marijuana activists and a few representatives from the industry. O'Malley said he'd immediately make marijuana a Schedule II drug, similar to cocaine, which is in the most tightly controlled category of drugs that can be legally prescribed. He stopped short of calling for nationwide legalization of marijuana. In Maryland, O'Malley signed a decriminalization bill but also opposed legalizing its recreational use. Pressed about his contradictory positions, that states should be allowed to experiment with drug policy, even as he'd order marijuana placed under FDA control, O'Malley grinned but did not elaborate. Ohio state officials must quickly change the wording of a voter referendum on the legalization of marijuana for medicinal and recreational use that is inaccurate and omits essential information, the state Supreme Court has ruled. A ballot board, which has three Republicans and two Democrats, must rewrite four critical parts of the initiative before early absentee voting for uniformed and overseas military ballots are mailed on Saturday for the November 3 general election. Among the changes required is to clearly indicate that home growers are not allowed to transport their four plants and 8 ounces of marijuana outside the home. The Kansas Supreme Court grilled the city's attorney Thursday morning when it reviewed the legality of a ballot measure that would lessen the penalties for marijuana possession in Wichita. The justices raised numerous concerns with the ballot measure, which passed with a 54% majority in April, including whether or not the language of the proposed ordinance was properly paired when activists circulated the petition earlier this year. Esau Freeman, the activist who led the initiative, said that activists carried a copy of the proposed ordinance with them as they gathered signatures and encouraged people to visit the group's website, where the full language of the initiative was still available. Colorado's attorney general is investigating several marijuana businesses over concerns the word organic in their names or advertising might be misleading to consumers. The office is reviewing complaints from consumers that the merchants have been misrepresenting their product when they say organic or organically grown, said Roger Hudson, spokesman for the state attorney general Cynthia Kaufman. Because marijuana is illegal under federal law and the use of the term organic is federally regulated, a licensed cannabis business cannot be certified as organic, no matter what its practices. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, September 17th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Well, if you're like me, you tuned in to the GOP debate last night from the Reagan Library in California, and the debate had a lot of interesting highlights. I mean, first you had this obese governor for Arkansas calling for a cure for heart disease that isn't obviously cutting down on the Chick-fil-A. You had a governor and another governor and another governor telling 54% of last election's voters how proud they are of defunding the Planned Parenthood clinics where they go for routine pap smears and breast cancer screenings. That's right, 54% of the electorate is women. Not a bright move, fellas. There was the Florida senator who insisted that the world is a dangerous place and the president needs to be ready on day one. And then there was the brother of the president whose administration's day 234 featured the worst attack on American soil in history, despite being warned about that on day 198. And then there was the obese New Jersey governor, once again insisting he was appointed U.S. attorney on September 10th, 2001, when in fact it wasn't until December 7th, 2001. And of course, the megalomaniac, the Donald Trump, who had the best line of the night, rebuffing Jeb Bush because of his brother crashing the worldwide economy, saying, quote, "Your brother brought us Barack Obama because his administration was such a disaster those last 3 months that Abraham Lincoln couldn't have been elected." End quote. And of course, Jeb Bush replied that his brother kept us safe. George Bush kept us safe. Apparently referring to day 235 and after that. Oh, but only if you're not a black person living in the lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans. But the section of the debate that has us all talking in the marijuana reform world is the back and forth between Kentucky Senator Rand Paul and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie over the 10th Amendment and its application to marijuana legalization in the states. As Vice News reported, quote, "Governor Christie would go into Colorado, and if you're breaking any federal law on marijuana, even though the state allows it, he would put you in jail," Rand Paul said. "If a young mother is trying to give her child cannabis oil for medical marijuana for seizure treatment, he would put her in jail if it violates federal law." Christie tried deflecting this suggestion, saying, quote, "I'm not against medical marijuana. We do it in New Jersey," end quote. But Paul countered that the enforcement of federal cannabis laws means the threat of jail time for all users, since no federal provision for medical marijuana exists. Well, first of all, the New Jersey governor insisting that he's, quote, "implemented and supported medical marijuana in his state," end quote, made me throw up in my mouth a little. This is the guy who has obstructed medical marijuana in his state at every turn. But within that exchange was the core political problem with the recent spate of CBD-only medical marijuana laws that have passed in 15 states, mostly in the South, as well as the no-home grow or no-whole plant medical marijuana laws passed recently in the eastern states. And that is, they provide a rhetorical shield against the most powerful attack we have against marijuana prohibition, and that is the suffering of patients who use cannabinoid medicines. See, Chris Christie gets to say something that is factually true. New Jersey does allow a young mother trying to give her child cannabis oil for medical marijuana for seizure treatment. Well, not if she wants to actually attend school and use her non-psychoactive medicine at school like the kids on Adderall get to do. But still, he gets a little bit of cover from Rand Paul's attack, as do the opponents of expanding medical marijuana in Florida or any other state with a CBD-only law. Furthermore, because of that law, Christie gets to turn the attack back against the medical marijuana supporter. Celeb Stoner reported that he said, quote, "In New Jersey, we have medical marijuana laws that I supported and implemented. I'm not against medical marijuana, but I am against the recreational use of marijuana," end quote. CBD only and no home grow and no plant medical marijuana laws allow people like Chris Christie to say they support the truly medically needy, since what they approve of isn't the growing of marijuana plants that healthy people harvest to get high. Thanks to these kind of laws, the "well, you support letting epileptics suffer" attack has no bite anymore. Even in a red state without any support sort of marijuana reform, the opponents of legalization are becoming willing to cleave away the sympathy for the sick but hate the potheads vote away from full legalization. Now, the political attack Rand Paul used, that the 10th Amendment is a state's right to deal with marijuana, is a good one to use on conservatives who consistently want government out of our affairs, oh, unless the affairs concern our healthcare choices. See, government-run healthcare is a terrible idea to today's GOP, but government dictating which medical procedures and medicinal herbs you can use, that's fine. They can go ahead and do that. Hell with states' rights. The attack just needs to stick with Rand Paul's first sentence about smoking a joint in Colorado, that he would send federal troops in to stop someone from smoking a joint in Colorado who wants to, even though the state said it's okay, because over 2/3 of the GOP voters in Iowa, South Carolina, and New Hampshire agree with Rand Paul.
I know nothing. Nothing.
So, the medical marijuana thing, it's over. Get out of it. Get away from it. All it does is give Chris Christie and these toads some wiggle room to deflect the legalization issue to a medical marijuana issue where they can claim a CBD law or a no plant law is helping sick people when we all know it's not. We're back with Drug War Data Mining right after this. Happy 420, Denver.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific for The Hash, podcasting at thehash.org. The Hash is a new podcast that's elevating the discourse around cannabis. Every other week, the cast of The Hash dishes out a smart, eclectic mix of breaking news, fresh music, exclusive interviews, advice, and commentary for a national and international audience. Check our online listings for The Hash from thehash.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, folks. If you've been watching or listening to the show for any length of time, especially this past week, you know that the 2014 National Survey on Drug Use and Health numbers came out. And I've been telling you some of the results of this, basically how the drug warriors are so, so desperate to find some terrible, terrible outcome from marijuana legalization that they can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves, and they go ahead and print falsehoods, outright falsehoods, about what the data are saying. We talked about CADCA, the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, how they proclaimed a headline that Health and Human Services says youth marijuana use is up drastically, when in fact it hasn't had any statistical change, and it's really the adult use that has risen. I told you the story of Project Sam's affiliate here in Oregon, who made hay out of the fact that Colorado had an increase in teenage marijuana use in the Monitoring the Future survey, and yet didn't note that Florida had an even greater increase, that Washington went up a little bit, but Utah went up more. Couldn't explain that. I haven't told you how the National Project Sam office issued a press release that said heavy smoking among monthly marijuana smoking teens had gone up dramatically, when in fact they misread the table and transposed the years, and it's actually gone down by 14.8%. And when called on it by me, they changed the text of their press release, but not the headline that still said youth marijuana use is way up. Of course, not until Christopher Ingraham of the Washington Post called them on it, and then they changed the headline. So we've already had three of these things come out that have been absolutely false from the drug warriors. Get ready for number four. The Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area just put out its report called The Legalization of Marijuana in Colorado, The Impact. And it's supposed to be a factual, non-biased presentation of the results of legalization. On page 30 of their 140-page report, they have a section where they talk about drugged driving increases. Let me read the paragraph for you. More motorists are smoking marijuana on the road than ever before, according to new data released on Friday by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration of the U.S. Department of Transportation. The agency stated that rates of driving while high have increased by 50% in the past 7 years. Researchers found that marijuana users are 25 times more likely to be in an accident than those that did not use the drug. By comparison, drunk drivers are 4 times more likely to crash than sober drivers. The survey did note that marijuana users are more likely to be involved in accidents, but that the increased risk may be due in part to the fact that marijuana users are more likely to be in a group of higher risk for crashes. Now, that second part, that last part about the marijuana users being more likely to be in the group, yeah, that's the part where we found that once you correct for age and demographics, you find that most marijuana smokers tend to be young males, and the worst drivers on the planet tend to be young males, right? But that middle part, researchers found that marijuana users are 25 times more likely to be in an accident than those that did not use the drug. By comparison, drunk drivers are 4 times more likely to crash than sober drivers. That was something they copied and pasted from an article in the International Business Times. Word for word, researchers found that marijuana users were 25 times more likely to be in an accident than those who did not use the drug. Now, in that article, there's a link. Now, unfortunately, the link was broken because the way the person put the link in is they had it a relative reference to their desktop. So it was like C:// blah, blah, blah. But me, being clever, knew how to find it. And I actually found the actual study from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration entitled Drug and Alcohol Crash Risk Study, dated February 6, 2015, which states, drivers who had been drinking at the 0.08 breath alcohol concentration had about 4 times the risk of crashing as sober drivers. Drivers participating in the study were also tested for a large number of potentially impairing drugs using both oral fluid and blood samples. Marijuana was the only single category of drug for which study findings reached statistical significance. Drivers testing positive for THC were overrepresented in the crash-involved case population. However, when demographic factors, age and gender, and alcohol use were controlled, the study did not find an increase in population-based crash risk associated with THC use. So in other words, Rocky Mountain high-intensity drug trafficking area, marijuana users aren't 25 times more likely to be in an accident. In fact, they're not any more likely to be associated with getting in an accident. And for that matter, none of the other potentially impairing drugs were found to have an increase in crash risk associated with using them. The only drug they looked at that had any association with increased crash risk in this study was alcohol. The 4 times greater risk from alcohol. So folks, that's what you got to expect from the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. They must be using the same interns and fact checkers as Project Sam. Do these people not think that I'm out here with nothing to do all day but look shit up on Google? To look it up on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And to think that the Rocky Mountain drug people would rely on a cut and paste from International Business Times without vetting the actual source of the quote? Well, that's just par for the course, isn't it? When we come back, Cannabusiness Chronicles, we've got vendor interviews from the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Here's vendor highlights from the OMMBC.
Medible Edibles, how you doing?
Oh, doing great. Thanks a lot.
Who else do we have working today?
I'm Heather Nguyen.
Hi, Heather.
Hi.
Whitney Medcap.
And Whitney. So Heather, Whitney, and Dana working here with Medible Edibles. You got a great display out here. I see cookies and Rice Krispie treats and fudge and cupcakes. Is there how much weight am I going to gain eating these things?
Not that much.
Okay. Tell us about the products and how long have you been doing this here as part of the Oregon industry?
About 6 years. I had a dispensary before they were really legal. You know, now we have our legal dispensaries, and I have all of the medible edibles, and what makes us really different is that you cannot taste the weed taste in our products. We make them relatively low dosage, but put multi-packs together so that you can dose yourself. So if you want to just do a little, you can, but if you want to add more, you can. So it's not a cookie at 200 milligrams where you spin out. It's a cookie at about 30 to 50.
Oh, that's great. Great to hear. Medible Edibles, you've got a Facebook page and any websites we need to tell people about?
Yeah, we have MedibleEdibles.com. We'd love you to check us out. We have Medible Edibles on Facebook, MedibleEdibles.pdx.com, or MedibleEdibles.pdx on Facebook.
So. All right. Well, thanks, Dana, and have yourself a great show.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
All right. Let's continue around. We'll talk to some of the other vendors here, making our way over to... Hi there, Radical Russ from 420 Radio. Could you talk about Critical Source?
Yeah, I'll talk to you.
Oh, okay.
You know me.
Oh, hey, how
hey,
you doing?
What's going on, Russ? How are you doing, brother?
Doing great. Tell everybody your
good
name and
you,
yeah, sure, all man. About Critical Source.
My name's Keenan. I am half of Critical Source, I suppose. My business partner, Charles Weller, will be here shortly. But my name is Keenan Hester. We are an extraction services company based out of Eugene, Oregon. We just opened our lab in the last month here. And we provide OMMP extraction services to licensed growers, dispensaries, and other processors in the state as well. So we do raw oil extraction, all CO2. So we've built out our lab with the best equipment available on the market. And we do raw oil extraction, We have secondary processing services that give us the capability of refining the oils and turning them into finished products like dabbable oils, vapor pens, decarboxylated oils for oral ingestion or topical application.
Wow, all the way around. So this is on the medical side. Are you guys going to get in processing on the recreational side?
We will be doing some processing for recreational clients, but we're mostly, our heart is focused on the medicine. So really working to make sure that we can verifiably provide medicine for patients through our clients that is clean, that actually is pesticide and fungicide free. I'm sure you're aware of all of the issues with cross-contamination and how that's become a huge issue recently. So
yeah, recently in Denver, they just quarantined a bunch of products.
Was it like 100,000 plants or something?
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Some of the stuff that had been extracted from
So we've been really working hard. You know, it's funny, the conversations I'm having these days are a lot different than they were 6 months ago.
Sure.
6 months ago, people would ask us, why aren't you guys open yet? And we'd tell them, hey, we're working on a cross-contamination procedure to make sure that we can protect your material from being contaminated. And back then, people just kind of scoffed and laughed. And these days, people are taking it a little bit more seriously, given recent, you know, things that have come to light in the industry. So.
Yeah. Well, this is part of the industry growing up and having to become, you know, inspected, tested, regulated, and safe like any other product.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, if people are interested in Critical Source, how can they find out more on the internet, Facebook,
Absolutely.
Such?
We're on social media and the internet. You can visit our website at critical-source.com. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Critical Source. Or you can reach out to us and give us a call at the lab, and happy to talk to you there as well.
You got a number for the lab?
Yeah, it's area code 541-357-4427.
All right, Keenan, thanks so much, and have yourself a great show.
Thank you, Russ. Take you as well. Great to see you.
All right, Radical Russ here at the OMMBC. We're at the Epic Edibles booth. Tell people your name and tell us about Epic Edibles.
You bet. I'm Michael Monarch, and CEO and co-founder of Epic Edibles. And we're here rocking it, launching our brand. We just blasted on Instagram in a big way today, so check us out, massive blasts. And we're carrying all organic ingredients in our edibles, all organic extractions, meaning kefs or alcohol extractions using organic alcohol, or direct lipid extractions into organic butters or organic coconut oils. And we're using that with healthy foods as well as your fun and wild side type of things. We've got these incredible caramels. Everything's very potent medicine at the moment for the medical patients. We're starting around 60 milligrams often for a double dosage. We consider somewhere between 25 and 30 milligrams a nice medical dosage. And occasionally we have a quadruple dose type of product, a green caramel we have, 137 milligrams.
Oh.
Yeah, that we're recommending cut into six pieces is our even medically. And people are reporting incredible sleep and the best sleep of their lives on even small pieces of these. So you got this economical, organic medicine that's easy to ingest. We also have organic alcohol-based tinctures, which is a fantastic product on the market. Nice medical dose in each squirt is about 30 milligrams, total of almost 1,800 milligrams in a bottle. And we have a new granola line that's going to come out, and our focus is going to be on non-perishable, so they do not have to be refrigerated, long shelf life, so both on the consumer and for the dispensary. So
that's great.
That's our focus, and we're here to really bring good medicine and rock it.
All right, so Epic Edibles, if people want to find this, website is epicediblesoregon.com. Phone number is 541-897-4220. Looks like you got Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, like you mentioned.
The Instagram especially. It's epic_edibles. Check us out. We're going to be rocking hard with photos and descriptions and medicine. And looking forward to connecting with all of you. Just reach out to us on social sites, and we'll reach back.
All right, thanks for talking to us. epicediblesoregon.com. The epic. Thanks, guys. Thank you. Radical Russ here at the OMMBC in Portland, Oregon at the Hilton, and we are at the booth for Monumental Medicinals, Rock Solid Extracts. Tell folks your name and about your company.
I'm Laura.
And I'm David.
And we have an extraction company. We do CO2 extracted oil and test to the highest standards, you know, going above and beyond what the state requires, doing the extended pesticide panel to make sure that we're offering a very clean product.
Well, that's good news. I see the vapor pens here, standard, like the battery and the no button draw type vapor pens. The varieties of these, what are you offering?
We're offering right now we got Girl Scout Cookie, we have Cinex, and
love the Cinex.
Several other. We got some high CBD stuff coming up here very soon. But we're just getting going, you know, and I figured harvest is getting near. We've got a bunch of high CBD, Charlotte's Web, Hurley, you know, Herkel, all this other nice stuff. And so we're just trying to accommodate, you know, the needs. We do RSO, topical salve.
Yeah, I noticed here you have some great topical salves and the little pattern.
Yeah.
That's a little nice extra touch you've got going there on these.
Thanks. Yeah, Laura came up with that. We've been making that for about 5 years and doing our R&D at home, and then when the legal market opened up, we were like ready to go, you know.
Excellent. What would you like people to know about using the topicals? Maybe they're afraid they're going to fail a drug test or something.
Yeah, well.
There is some controversy about that. Some doctors say absolutely there's no, you know, it doesn't enter the blood. I personally feel like it does because I can feel the effects. If I use copious amounts of it, I can definitely feel the effects, you know, very relaxing, and also get some of those typical side effects that cannabis causes, like red eyes and a dry mouth.
So it must be going into something, right?
It is having an effect. And fortunately, it has like it breaks up muscle spasms and kind of releases the nerve pain, you know, because I have sciatic in my leg and stuff. So that's how we developed this, was to help my messed up back. But a lot of people use it to sleep, rub it on their feet, and boom, you're out. So we haven't done a test, you know, and tested ourselves. But from what we can tell, it's getting in there somehow.
It's getting in there, but definitely not psychoactive.
All right, so CO2 oils, topical salves, tinctures, RSO, available from Monumental Medicinals. Give people any contact, website, Facebook, anything they need to know to get in touch with you.
MonumentalMedicinals.com is a website, and they can contact us there. And we will be updating our website to include the dispensaries, the list of dispensaries that we can be found in, hopefully in a town near you very soon.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Monumental Medicinals. Have yourselves a great show.
Yeah. Thanks, Russ.
Thank you.
Radical Russ here at the OMMBC in Portland, Oregon at the Hilton, and we're at the booth for Stokes Confections. Tell folks your name and tell us about Stokes.
So I'm Mike. Stokes Confections is a new brand. We're concentrating on low-dose, responsibly-dosed, functional products. So our products start at 5 milligrams and max out at 20.
Oh,
so
wow.
We keep it very, very low. Basically, we saw a void in the market for low-dose edibles, consumables, and everything out there is 100, 200, 300. If you're a person like me, that's way too much. So we spent time, we developed two products. Here today, we're showcasing our star product, which are the micros. Again, 5 milligrams each. They come in an indica, sativa, and two SKUs in a hybrid. So we have a mint, watermelon, tangerine cream, and a honey lemon ginger. Honey lemon gingers are indica. The fruity flavors are our hybrids. And then the mint is our sativa.
So these are like little Tic Tac-like mints, the little tiny ones.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, so at 5 a piece, and you need 50, just take 10.
You can take whatever you want,
right.
Exactly. That's
what I like
point.
About that is that you could add them together to get to the level you want to be.
And you don't have to bite anything off.
Cutting something in six.
Yeah, put it
something.
Back into a package. It's all nasty. You don't have to. It's bite-sized. That's what we're looking at. It's just one-timers, things that are like, you know, discreet. This is very discreet. It's very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, you can carry it around your purse. It's great for the functional day-to-day person.
It's like a little tiny, thin, one of those, you know, about the size of a nickel
diameter, maybe a little bigger.
Yeah.
Like a prescription bottle. It's got like 20 in there, I guess?
Yeah, so we're going to be, we're doing them in 20s and 50 counts, so it's 100 milligrams and 250 milligrams.
That's great. All right, so the website's getstokes.com.
Correct.
Any other contact info you need to give?
You can give us a call if you have any questions as well. We have a toll-free number. It's 888-414-2337. And again, we have getstokes.com. Check out our Facebook, Get Stokes Official, as well as on Instagram with the same username, Get Stokes Official, and check us out on Twitter at GetStokes215.
Radical Russ here at the OMMBC. We're at the booth for Greenleaf Lab and the law offices of Paul Loney. And tell us your name and tell us about the Greenleaf Lab.
Hi, I'm Kim Gordon, and I work with Greenleaf Lab. We are do all the Oregon compliance testing for growers and farms. We do also terpene testing and residual solvents for any of the concentrates, all the medibles, edibles, topicals.
Yeah. Now, what caught my eye here is this nice display you got, the little tiny, like the little perfume sampler bottles, but it's all the terpenes. Tell us about this, and can we smell these?
Yeah, you can. It's really interesting, and there's a lot of information coming out in research about terpenes and the medicinal qualities of the terpenes and how they can actually work with the cannabinoids to enhance the medical qualities of the medicine. So it's really it's interesting research, definitely.
Now, and the latest things that I've been reading have talked about how the molecules themselves, taking THC or CBD by themselves, isn't having as great an effect as when we get these different terpenes involved. So are we entering a spot where they're going to know which terpene does what?
We're already there.
We're there.
Actually. Like, for instance, if you're looking for something that'll relieve pain, you would look for a flower that has a linalool and myrcene and some of those different terpenes that actually have pain-relieving qualities.
Do you think that this means that, like, I've been thinking that we're going to be the last generation that thinks of pot in strains.
Right.
And that in the future, it'll be like this. Like, there'll be a little color code. It'll say linalene 5 and this terpene 6. And
right.
You'll go for the profile.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah, I think so. I think people are already doing that,
yeah.
Really. Definitely.
Because, you know, what one guy says is super silver haze, you don't know. Yeah,
right.
He don't know.
Right. And this is the closest thing to genetic testing that we can get without actually doing genetic profile for the different strains. So.
Wow. That's some amazing stuff. All right. Greenleaf Lab is the company, and I'm assuming you're online everywhere?
We are, yes. And we have, you know, Instagram and Facebook and all that fun social media stuff, yeah.
All right. And you're sharing the booth here with the law offices of – oh, wait. I'm going to get a picture here. So we'll do the picture. And then we've got the law offices of Paul Loney, and Paul Loney is one of the first people I met when I got involved 10 years ago. Tell us how you're involved with the law office and what new services are there to offer.
Sure. We are a full-service cannabis law firm. Paul has, as you mentioned, been in this industry on the medical side for a decade or more. He was also involved in the drafting of ballot measure 91 that was passed in 2014 by Oregon residents,
yeah.
And we offer services to our clients ranging from business matters, formation, compliance issues, and of course the occasional criminal matters for people who are still kind of getting caught up in a net of an industry that's kind of starting to wane here. But we handle all matters from clients from business formation to licensing, registration, zoning, employment issues, labeling, trademarking, and those kind of issues, business planning. So we're basically a full service. Anything that a business client needs, for the most part, we can help establish, either answering questions, drafting, or filling out paperwork if they would like that. Yeah.
That's great. And, of course, you've got the great stickers and T-shirts. Am I free to go, officer? I do not consent to any searches. I wish to speak to my attorney. I wish to remain silent. The law offices of Paul Loney. OregonMarijuanaLaw.com. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
See y'all later.
Good times at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. Various vendors there. And you can catch all of my recordings from the OMMBC at my SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/RadicalRuss. By the way, the young lady speaking for Greenleaf Labs, Kim Gordon, that's Herb Thrasher's wife. There you go. A little trivia for you. When we come back, Salio says, since you can't transport homegrown or Ohio weed, we need to remain criminals. We'll get into this. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belleville Show is.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belleville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
When I grow up, I want to be a track star.
No one ever says, I want to be a junkie when I grow up.
I want to be a ballerina.
Yet thousands of kids let getting high make a mess of their lives.
I want to be a nurse.
Don't let drugs get in the way of your dreams.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belleville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay, read the Weed Blog today.
Able, and you're listening to 420radio.org live from Hempfest.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
All right, welcome back here. Over the past couple days, if you've been following my Twitter feed, you know that I've been arguing with Salio. Salio is the new hashtag I've put together. S-A-L-I-O stands for Stoners Against Legalization in Ohio. There's a few of them that have been pestering me online, and it's been very interesting to kind of examine the typical talking points. And this isn't my first Stoners Against Legalization. I had to deal with this in 2010 with Prop 19, had to deal with 2012 with I-502, even some of it, not as much, but in 2014 here in Oregon. So I've kind of discovered some of the patterns here, some of the talking points, some of the thoughts that go through their head. And lately, the one that really sticks with me is that if X is still illegal, then that's not legalization. Okay, so the latest one here is the Ohio Supreme Court today came down with a ruling on the ballot summary for issue 3 in Ohio. And it said, for one, that, you know, it was challenged whether or not it was a monopoly, where the proper term for it would be an oligopoly, but the Supreme Court said, no, monopoly is a decent term there. But the other thing that they considered was in the amendment summary, it said that adults with a license would be able to home grow 4 plants and possess 8 ounces and transport that with them. And the Supreme Court today ruled that was inaccurate, that you could not transport your homegrown 4 plants and your homegrown 8 ounces with you. So the Salio people came back at me today saying, do you call this legalization? You can't even take your marijuana out of your homegrown marijuana out of the house. How would you ever get your marijuana to your patients? That's not legalization. And I heard similar stuff. Like in California Prop 19, it was, well, it's only a 5x5 garden. If you had a 6x6 garden, that's illegal. You call that legalization? In Washington State, it was, well, you can't home grow plants at your house. You can't home grow your own weed. You call that legalization? So let me make it clear what legalization is. Legalization is the end of the contraband nature of smokable marijuana. Period. Right now, what we suffer under as cannabis consumers is the fact that marijuana is a contraband substance, the detection of which empowers police to fuck with your day. Now, it could be very minor. Maybe you've just been pulled over and they run a drug dog around your car and it alerts and you got to sit in handcuffs off the side of the road while they rifle through all your shit to discover you don't actually have any marijuana on you. Or maybe you do have marijuana on you and you get a ticket. Or maybe you have a lot of marijuana on you and you get an arrest and a charge. But no matter what, the smell of pot, the sight of pot, a canine alerting to pot is an excuse to fuck with your day. That's it. That's exactly what marijuana being illegal means. That's what prohibition means. Marijuana's contraband. You having it empowers cops to usurp your liberties. So then, what is legalization? The opposite of that. Legalization is when cops can no longer fuck with your day because you're possessing marijuana. It's that simple. Other things ought to be legalized. We ought to legalize home growing, and issue 3 in Ohio is doing that. We ought to legalize the selling of marijuana, and issue 3 is doing that. You can own a pot store. We ought to legalize the commercial production of marijuana. Now, issue 3 falls short on that, in that it only legalizes commercial production for 10 entities who are already spoken for. But because legalization of commercial production didn't happen, doesn't mean that legalization of marijuana didn't happen. Okay? It is possible to hate aspects of the business plan for legalization, of the production plan for legalization, of the driving limit for legalization. You can hate those parts of it. But you cannot hate the fact that it ends the contraband nature of marijuana, the excuse cops need to wreck our lives. And they come back at me and say, oh, Russ, you live in Oregon where it's free market, and you think we ought to just take it? We ought to just take this legalization? Can they not see that their point of view is turning to every other stoner around them and saying, you need to take a ticket? You need to keep taking tickets. You need to keep taking the risk of arrest. You need to keep taking harassment from cops. You need to keep paying fines because not the right people are getting rich. Sorry, it's immoral and wrong to be opposed to this legalization. And it's not just Salio. I've been having to debate Ngayo Bilom on this. A good friend of mine who disagrees with me vehemently on this. And they keep promising they'll call in hour two. But you know how screen berets are, the keyboard commandos. Not a lot of bravery among that crowd.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.